This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
So let's talk about this. Well, first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So you were working at, I think when we first met, you were working at NVIDIA, right?
Yeah.
What were you doing at NVIDIA?
So my title was Senior Principal Scientist. Primarily, so prior to joining NVIDIA, I was the chief analytics officer for the city of New York. So I really did a lot of my data and AI work in the urban space within city and environments. And so I got a reach out from Jensen and said, hey, look, we want to bring your skill sets into NVIDIA. So a lot of my focus at NVIDIA was on how we use AI and supercompute in cities to solve a lot of the complex, intractable challenges in cities. NVIDIA, now, if you want to think about from a product perspective, there's two products at NVIDIA that primarily functioned with. And so you have the NVIDIA supercompute, which they refer to as superpods as the base infrastructure, but then there was two products. One was RAPIDS, which was like an advanced data science platform and AI platform. And the other is more well-known, which is Omniverse, which is their digital twin technology where they do physics-based simulations and 3D viewing of anything in the world. So I primarily functioned in that space, worked with cities globally work with urban environments globally to implement AI and supercomputing.
All right. So, Amit, I know you started at Motorola and then you were at NVIDIA, but you're not there anymore. And one of the conversations we had was about the correlation between college athletics in the world of tech, in the sense of when you're really good at something, people are always trying to find you as the next talent. Can you explain that to the audience of how the tech world has a correlation to college sports?
Yeah, I think there's two. No, that's such a great question. I think there's two ways you want to look at that. First one is in Silicon Valley, and I spent time not only with NVIDIA, but at a startup engaging in and around Silicon Valley. In Silicon Valley, they don't, if you're at a company, if you're a tech genius, giant, even halfway decent at Silicon Valley, if you stay at a company more than 2 years, you basically are seen as somebody who's garbage, like passe, because they're constantly looking for the best of the best, and they will do anything to pull you from one company to another. You've seen it in biopics, whether it's the WeWork biopic or Uber's biopic. Success of a company is taking the best talent from other companies and bringing it to your companies. And oftentimes it causes drama because, you know, they got to do backhanded deals and so on and so forth. But they're always looking for the top company. So you're always looking to be the best. And the other way I would put it. And so I spent a couple of years. I was faculty at Johns Hopkins, research scientist at Johns Hopkins for a while. And I spent 2 years teaching it in Hong Kong at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. And I used to, when I was faculty there, I used to go around and go to a lot of the tech companies. And one of the CEOs of a tech company was like, yo, we recruit some of the top scientists from around the world to come and work for our company. But what we do is, I said, well, how difficult is that? He said, well, it's not that difficult because they're all seventh and eighth graders. So what they do is they actually begin scouting you the same way you think about AAU. It is the same way they think about scientists. They start at seventh and eighth grade and they start grooming you to come to China. And what they do is they put you into their universities. And then the pipeline is right into their companies. And his thing is like, look, we bring the best of the best over and we start looking at them and we go to science fairs at seventh and eighth grade. And we bring them over. If they don't come to our company, they still are what's referred to as friendly alumni to the universities in China. And so he's like, it's a win-win for China in general in terms of bringing the intellectual capital over. But they treat it, science and scientists the same way we treat sports players. And I got one more anecdote. So when I was at Hong Kong, Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, one of the most beautiful college campuses in the world. And they have this dope soccer field that almost looks like it's sliding off into the water. And we used to go and play soccer all the time, basketball, football, whatever, but mostly football, soccer. And there was one dude that was nice. Like I've rarely seen football players like that. He was nice. And he was in my class and I went up and I was like, yo, do you play for the national soccer team? He was like, football team. He was like, nah, because in my family and in my culture, it's actually more honorable to be a computer scientist than to play sports. So he was like, I'm actually winning more that I'm a computer science major at college than I would if I played sports in the national team. So there's a lot of similarities there.
For those who are aspiring to go on your path, NVIDIA's been one of my favorite stocks for the last 2 years, but it's really taken off this past year. For those of us that are black and brown that want to make it into these tech power players, what would be your process if you had to start over now for how to break into an NVIDIA, an Apple, Microsoft, Bezos Foundation? What tips can you give us to help break into those landscapes that we are not often seen in?
Man, I don't know if my tips would be helpful, but I can share some of what I think. But that's such a great question. For me, my focus was always on the math of it all, the science of it all. Oftentimes what I've seen, and I went to all HBCUs. I went to Lincoln University undergrad, Howard University for my master's, and Morgan State for my doctorate. And I stayed at all HBCUs But what I saw was a lot of my friends and colleagues, they would come in and within the first couple of classes, shift out of the computer science realm into like business information systems or project management. Those sort of non-math intensive, computational, mathematics intensive programs. Companies like Motorola, when I was at Motorola, I was at Motorola Labs, so I was a research scientist there. My primary research over there was when Bluetooth was being invented, I was a part of that team. I had three patents there. It wasn't just me. It was a group of us, and we all got our names on those patent disclosures. The reason why I was able to go to Motorola Labs, which is the research arm of Motorola, and work on the projects that I did was because I had a math background. And so staying strong in the math background, and I never went, literally at the Bezos Earth Fund is the least technical that I've ever been in my career. But the reason why, I had an hour long interview, as Troy, you mentioned, part of my interview process was an hour long one-on-one interview with Jensen. And one of the things I requested in that interview was, I didn't want to be a VP. I didn't want to have the title VP. I wanted to have a technical title because I wanted to remain very technical. And so senior principal scientist at NVIDIA is the technical equivalent to a VP at NVIDIA. I was like, I want all the equity that a VP gets, but not the title. But I was deliberate in staying in the math and lane and in the math space. To this day, I still program. I do a lot of programming with my son and some personal projects. But to this day, I still focus on computational work.
So, all right. So let's get into this. So for where are we headed with artificial intelligence, like where is this headed? We talked about, a variety of different things in the past, but I want to hear from your perspective as somebody that's doing it and has done it for a while. Where are we at right now as far as like, is this the infancy stages, and where do you expect it to be in 10 years from now?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think that's such a important question today. And it's just this morning, the White House just released its executive order on AI. And I spent some time, I spent some time digging through it this past weekend. And, it's going to challenge innovation as most regulation tends to do. So I think 6 months ago to a year ago, the trajectory may be different if a lot of these regulations that just came out through this executive order take hold. But that aside, let's assume, which is the case, that federal regulations take a long time to even have any impact or effect. But let's answer your question straight away. I think if you look at the different domains that are using AI, what you're going to wind up seeing are a few domains where it's most impactful, and then you'll begin to see some domains where it's least impactful. And so domains like health is where you're going to see AI really take off. Regulations and everything aside, but because those regulations from the health space have been built in, you'll see it take off there. You'll see AI take off in the defense space, aerospace. You'll see a lot of AI in the personal engagement space, that is sort of building out this concept. And you guys have talked about it on your shows, like this concept of sort of your own personal chief of staff, your own personal senior advisor, your own personal scheduler. You're going to see a lot of AI in that space.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.